All right, well, we should probably get started. Oh, wait, could that be David?
Oh, David Mocker is on.
This is Alon. I'm just an alternate with along with Paul.
Oh, good. Okay, great. All right. Well, let's get started then. The only person we're missing is David Ferris or Marilyn, so we're missing someone from the business constituency. I'm assuming for this call, Paul, that you'll be the primary still for this call, for the registrars?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right, first comes first. Let's see, the I sent around just a little bit ago, I don't know if you've gotten it yet, but just a revised list of the non-marketing contacts that we're going to send this draft letter off to. Again, if there's any more organizations that anyone can think of, please forward it on to the rest of us. You know, this list is evolving. I also need contact or people at these at some of these places. Right now, all I have are URLs, although Paul Starr has sent me a few names, and I think maybe Jeremy has as well. So, again, the goal is to send out this letter. What was the date we had, Glenn? Do you remember? Later this week, I think it was. I'm just trying to check the minutes from the last call, but I believe the goal was to send it out by the 15th or 16th, because we wanted to give a two-week period for responses to come in. I'm just checking the minutes from the last call. Glenn, are the other task force going through the formal procedure of adopting the minutes?
No, not really.
Okay.
But perhaps it might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they float around.
Yeah, they're kind of just out there. So has everyone had, let me go back a step then. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes from the last January 6th call?
Yes, I read them, Tony Harris.
Okay. Does anyone have any? There were some comments that went back and forth. Is there any? But I think Glenn has made all of the changes, and I've looked through them. Is there any other questions or comments on the agenda? I'm sorry, on the minutes from last time. Nope. Okay. Hearing none, then can I get a motion from someone to adopt the minutes?
Let's adopt them.
Okay. Can I get a second?
David Ferris, I'm sorry. Be late.
Okay. David, since you're in, you want to second the motion to adopt the minutes from the last meeting?
Sure.
All right. Let's take a vote. All in favor of adopting the minutes from the last meeting, say aye.
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 You know what? These are the revised minutes that we received, right?
Yes. This is the one that just went around earlier today, or was it yesterday?
Yesterday. Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Would anyone like to abstain for the heck of it?
Nope.
Okay, then the minutes are adopted. And going back to the minutes, the goal is to send the letter out to the non-marketing contacts by later on this week. I think it was to be the 13th, 14th, at some point this week. Today is the 13th. Now, we'll go into the actual substance of the letter that was just circulated around a little bit ago. But the topic that we're talking about now is the non-marketing contacts. Who to send this letter to once we finalize this letter? Obviously, the letter is going to go to all the constituencies. So the goal of this was for Alana, who's just joined us, has been on the previous calls. The goal of this is to add contacts that may not be covered within the constituencies, or wouldn't necessarily have be contacted by the constituencies to provide their input. And so far, we have a list of somewhere around 30 or so organizations that we've identified as ones that do not use the data, at least as far as we can tell, for, quote, marketing uses. I also just sent around a document from a hearing last year at the FTC, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, in which they had people from the United States, but also a few people from other countries come in and make presentations of how they use the WHOIS database and why it's essential for accuracy. Now, we could either take their testimony and incorporate it into our report if we choose, or we could actually just send this question. We could take the names of those presenters, add them to this list, if you guys want, and just send them the same question so that they can answer like everybody else. Any thoughts on that?
Just send them the same stuff.
Just send them the same?
Yeah, I don't... these groups are from where?
I think most of them are... I haven't been able to look through the entire document. I just sent it around. But a lot of them are law enforcement, so we have someone from the Australian Consumer Commission. We have someone from the telemarketing fraud for the U.S. Customs Service, a person from the Child Exploitation Division of the Postal Service, U.S. Postal Service. Again, I haven't, I just found the document, and it's about 200, it's a transcript. About 260 pages. There were a number of different panels on there, and so there are a number of different people that we could send this letter to. And again, I believe the more people we can find to send this to, the better.
Yeah, I just would like to raise in that context a question. As I was working on the draft of the letter, It really did occur to me that a lot of what we're doing may be based on kind of a false premise that there is, in fact, a clear distinction between the techniques used by marketing and non-marketing, users of Whois. Mm. And it seems to me that many users could be, using it for non-marketing and marketing purposes. I mean, once you've got the data, there's a lot of things you can do with it. In that regard, I received a letter from a member of the public who was apparently a registrant of some kind of a name from VeriSign, and he received some kind of a solicitation notice from some other registrar that may have been a partner of VeriSign. And I mean, I just guess I want to clarify at this point what we're trying to do with this questionnaire. I was under the assumption that we were trying to just find out how much use was being made of it and how much of a load that put on the registries. But maybe... what some of us think we're doing is we're trying to find a way to make it possible for legitimate users to be distinguished from illegitimate ones, illegitimate being defined as marketing. And I wonder if this survey really allows us to do that.
Well, I think, and guys, jump in, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the purpose here was even more narrow than the way you stated. The purpose here is just to collect, without going in with an agenda as to whether we're going to shut it off, keep it on, what we're going to recommend. The goal here is to figure out what, quote, non-marketing uses are out there. Not necessarily who at this point uses it, but just we're just trying to collect that needs and justifications chart.
Jeff, this is David. That's my recollection as well, especially given the scope and the mandate of our task force.
Right. So what we're just trying to do, Milton, is we're just really trying to say, okay, we've identified that there are these groups out there that we believe are using it for, quote, non-marketing purposes. Now, whether they're using it for non-marketing purposes or using it for marketing purposes, I think from our standpoint is irrelevant at this point. But we want to know, okay, we have identified you as a possible non-marketing user of the Whois data, whether it's through Port 43 or through the web or through bulk access. Why do you use it? Why do you need it? Please let us know what are the needs, what are the justifications for those needs, and then how they go about getting it, whether it's Port 43, whether it's through the web. And once we collect that data, then, we, being the ICANN community, will be able to assess whether it's needed through port, whether, first of all, the needs and justifications are legitimate. Second of all, whether they would need a port 43 or web-based or both to access it. And so I don't think, Milton, I don't think we're quite where you're going with this yet. I'm not sure this task force will ever be quite where you're going with it. That's probably something we need clarification. But at this point, the role is to really just put this needs justifications chart together as to what uses there are, what non-marketing uses there are, and why they claim to need the WHOIS data and how they get it.
Okay, well, I'm not going anywhere with it. What I think is I think we're going to get maybe some valuable information about how they actually get WHOIS information and possibly what kind of a techniques, you know, how many of them store it, how many queries they use. But I guess I'm unclear as to how we get from that point to evaluating the actual justifications in terms of how we would decide how do we shut off the marketing uses without also affecting these other people.
I think that second part is a key question. But I think the first part we need to do is probably, I mean, the second part is.
Milton, let me interrupt real quick. Milton,
sure.
Is some kind of questions that would help us answer your second question that we could ask them?
That's what I'm getting at here. Is there any questions that we could ask them? I mean, I tried to improve the draft. In other words, we're getting on question seven here. We're getting an open-ended justification. I wonder, you know, some people are going to say maybe, you know, they're going to be filling out in a hurry. They're going to say something like, "We need it," you know, and. Other people might give us, you know, three paragraphs justification as to why it's, you know, the cheapest way for them to get it or so on. Do we want to flesh out that last question in some way that gives us a little more to go on?
Well, question for you, Milton. Would it help if at the beginning, and this was kind of one of my comments, if we restated the purpose of our task force as far as, you know, maybe take some language from the terms of reference as to what our role is, and I think part of that does contain, you know, some of the past policies for shutting down the marketing uses, maybe to provide a better summary or a more descriptive summary up front, and also do what you said as far as add questions or maybe narrow the questions. Do you think a summary at the beginning would help?
No, actually, I think that that's what you call, I forget the technical term for it in survey research, but you tip people off as to the kind of answers you want.
Okay.
So, for example, if you tell them, oh, we're looking out for marketing uses, then, you know, nobody is going to admit that they use it for marketing purposes, right?
Right.
And what we might find out if we do a real survey is that some of the people that are using it for legitimate purposes are also using it for marketing purposes. And that there's no distinction between the two in terms of the techniques that they're actually using to get the data.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that does make sense. Okay, well, going back, before we tackle the letter itself, I know we kind of started to get into it, let me just again state that even once we send out some of the letters, hopefully later this week, to these groups, we can still add groups as long as we can get the information before our deadline date, which we've set for 2 weeks from the date that we send out the letter. So, again, if you think of additional groups, if anyone from your constituencies can think of additional groups, additional players in this area, please forward them on, and we'll send out the letter. One of the questions we need to talk about later after we talk about the substance of the letter is who should send it out and whether it should just, you know, say the task force one, or whether it should be a person, and who would collect all of those. So just some of the administrative items.
When you finish, I'd like to make a suggestion, Tony Harris.
Sure, Tony, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I assume there are obviously organizations who purchase this information, bulk access from the accredited registrars. Would it not be possible for the registrars to send, if they don't want to give us a list of these people, perhaps they could send this questionnaire to them.
I think that's a good idea. Paul, what do you think about that?
That's not a bad idea. I sent a message to the registrar's list trying to solicit contacts, and I didn't get very many responses. But once we're done with the letter, I could send the letter to the list saying, if you send this to, your purchasers of your bulk who is, please give us the answers back.
Well, those are actual, factual users of the WHOIS data. People who are actually using it, they're paying for it, right?
Yeah, just from my own registrar experience, then I would guess there's a far greater number of users just hitting the port 43 who is because they don't want to pay the $10K than the number of people who are paying the $10K.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, let's send it to the list and have them send it on if they don't want to give up their contacts. Have them send it on as a proxy for us.
Well, that reminds me, it's illegal to sell them the bulk access to marketing purposes, right?
Well,
I think I don't know. I think they have to sign a thing that says how they're going to use it or something. I don't know our legal agreement.
It's not for marketing purposes, Thomas here. That was part of the last task force's results.
Right. So they have to certify that they're not going to use it for marketing purposes. There's a standard. I believe it's a standard bulk access. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's a zone file agreement. Never mind. Completely different. I'm not sure if there's a standard bulk access agreement.
I don't think there is.
So I guess each
there is.
What's that?
There is 336 in the RAA, I think. There is what goes into the bulk access agreement.
Right, but yes, there's...
I can look it up.
Right, there are certain things that are required in it, but there's not a standard agreement itself.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, so now let's turn to the actual... Does everyone have a copy of the letter? I think it came... I think Milton forwarded it on to the group a few hours ago.
Yeah, I've got a copy.
Jeff, before we continue on that path, one more question. I have to ask the question because I can't find the description of work so quickly. Isn't it out of the scope of the staff course to revise the contractual bike access provisions?
Is it out of scope to redo the bulk access? Is that your question?
Yep.
I believe it is.
In that case, how much sense does it make to ask precisely those people whose access to data we are supposed to leave alone?
You mean, what sense does it mean to ask them whether they get it from bulk access?
Yeah. That question is pointless anyway, but the other question is, we don't really need to look at the usage of here that people are making who get to the data through bike access and are paying the $10K. Because if my recollection of the description of work is correct, this mode of access will be left alone. So we may be gathering more or less irrelevant information there.
I'm not sure it's irrelevant because then at least we know that these organizations have alternative means of getting the information they need other than port 43 or the web. And we could, if that's what the data says, I don't know what the data will say, but I think it is relevant because... Again, if someone wants to shut down port 43 or keep it open, especially if they want to shut it down, if they can get the information from bulk access and they are getting the information, you see that's kind of the thing that may be helpful information to gather.
I agree with the characterization of the task force that we're not to touch. No, we're just talking about port 43, and we're not talking about bulk access, but I do think we need to know which users are getting it via bulk access because, for example, I don't think this is the case, but, for example, if they're all getting it via port access, via bulk access, what do we have port 43 for? Like I said, I don't think that's the case, but never know.
I still don't get what information asking bike access licensees would add to the discussion. The only information we learned there is that these specific parties are using bike access. The question we are dealing with is what kind of impact do the other ways to get to bulk data have? And what kind of impact would it have to remove these other avenues?
I understand what you're getting at here, Thomas. Let me just say that, the issue is indeed sort of the trade-off between bulk access versus non-bulk access. And in that respect, I think it might be useful to find out, let's suppose we find out, if we have a list of who's buying bulk access, and we compare it to this list of who's using port 43, if we see a lot of overlap, I think that tells us something potentially important. If we see no overlap, I think that also tells us something important. So I would just see it as a question of looking at how this trade-off plays off in the real world.
And I always, just from a survey standpoint, I always prefer to get more information than you need. With certain exceptions, obviously you don't want to make the questions too broad to get more information, but solicit the narrow questions from a bigger group and then be able to narrow that down rather than having to go back and get some more information.
Yeah. Well, having evaluated one who surveyed before, I'm always very much in favor of keeping the data focused, not having too much to look at, and I really know what I'm talking about there. So if you can avoid asking something, don't ask it, because it's one thing less to look at and it's less work.
Completely.
The work can go out of hand, and so the question I'm asking, should we focus on basically port 43 and web users, or focus on users where we suspect they may use, where we don't know what they are using? To come back to Milton's point, if we are seeing a lot of overlap between port 43 mass users and bulk users, then there are two things that this can tell us. One thing is we have a representative sample of port 43 users, and they're all using bulk access, so we can strike port 43. And the other thing this can tell us is we just didn't get to the people who are not using bulk access. And if you look at the statistics, the Bruce Tonkin, for instance, presented in Montreal, I would suppose that it's more likely that you just didn't get to the port 43 users. So you have to be careful what you do with the additional information. And this particular example would be, I think, a bad conclusion to draw from overlap. Really just looking at the logic here.
Mm-hmm.
What
okay.
you see is a function of whom you ask and what you're looking and what you ask.
Right.
You have
so
to
just
be careful about that.
So just looking at the first question, or I don't know if it was your first question or second question, but who we're sending this to. Thomas, is it your recommendation that we don't need to, or that we shouldn't ask the registrars to send this to their bulk access users?
My recommendation is that we don't need it, and that not doing it may reduce everyone's work.
Okay. What are some other thoughts on that? I mean, Tony, you're the one that suggested it.
I thought we were trying to cover people who were identifiably using the information and see what feedback they provided. I don't really see we could lose anything by approaching these people who have purchased the data. But, well, that's just my opinion.
Okay. Anybody else on that?
I could go either way. This is Paul. I just want to add a point that just a data point at ENAM. We sold it to less than five people, but I would assume that the same five people are across all registrars. But you know, maybe some larger registrars have more because they have more data. I'm just saying that I don't think the quantity of bulk purchasers is that big. Not like it's going to swap all other users, in my opinion.
Okay. David Maher, you still on?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as an alternate, I don't think I'm supposed to give thoughts, only facts. But I don't really have anything to add to this.
Okay. Jeremy?
I think I'd be inclined to send it out, to be honest with you. I think the more we can get in there, the better. But I understand kind of the views views coming through, but I think the more information we can get back, the better.
All right, David? David Farris? I'm pronouncing that right.
Farris. I guess that I'm kind of on board with what Jeremy just said. As long as we can agree that we'll limit whatever we're supposed to do to the terms of reference, what will more information damage?
All right, Thomas, you heard it. You heard these.
I'm not going to make a big thing out of it, so.
Yeah. Well, you can just remind them when we get all this data.
I will.
That you. okay, it sounds like we'll continue on that plan of asking the registrars to send it out to their bulk users. Or I should say, in addition to, if they know of anyone that uses their port 43, to send it out to them as well. I mean, really, the goal is to get as many responses as we can from port 43 users as well.
I just don't want, 50 registrars all to send 50 questions to the same purchaser. But I guess that's a risk we'll take.
Okay. So again, please review this list. If you have specific contact people, especially those that submitted the names at these organizations, please let me know, and we'll add that to the list. So let's look at the actual letter then.
Sorry, Jeff, just before we go on from the list,
sure.
Can you just remind me where we were on law enforcement on this list as well? Do
yes.
we want to get their input into this list, or do you want us to approach them more face-to-face to get their thoughts in?
Well, no, I think we do. We should include them on this list, and we have a couple on here. We have the European Commission. We have who else? We have the United States Department of Justice, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, the OECD, and anybody else that anyone's got any connection to. In the Federal Trade Commission hearing that was last year, there was a name of a person from I think it's Lee Hollis from the Australian Consumer Commission, Compensation and Consumer Commission. So, yeah, if you could think of any law enforcement, please. I mean, that's explicit in our terms of reference to get input from them. As far as face-to-face, I'm not sure how we would as a task force get, other than in Rome.
I think more it's, if we've got contacts here that may not want to subscribe to this, but I can pick their brains and try and get some feedback. So it's sometimes easier to do that than get anything out of them through an official questionnaire kind of thing. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, any way that you can get this information would be helpful.
Okay.
It would be easier, obviously, to work from a standard set of questions.
If we can use a standard set of questions, it's just I'd rather try and get the information from them kind of on the phone than not get anything from them via email, if you know what I mean. So, okay, that's
sure.
fine.
Sure, absolutely.
This is David Ferris. It might be good if we could try and target some law enforcement from the non-developed world, too. I don't know. I don't have any contacts with them, but...
I completely agree with that statement. I'm just not sure how to reach them.
Which countries would you be interested in?
It doesn't really matter. I just think we should show that we are not just being North-centric.
Okay. I mean, I can... We've got offices in about 76 countries, so I think we could probably find something. Whether I can turn it around by the end of this week is going to be interesting, but I'll see what I can do.
I would wonder whether this whole question is kind of North-centric, the assumption that developing countries invest resources in tracking down domain name data in countries with telephone penetration of 10%. I'm not sure whether the law enforcement authorities are going to know what you're talking about, but that's not something I feel very strongly about.
I still think we should attempt to reach out to them, notwithstanding that point. I agree with that point, but we should attempt to solicit their views. If they don't respond, so be it.
I will do that from the Latin American law enforcement community.
Okay. Are we ready to jump to the letter itself?
I just sent you two possible additional questions that could be added to the letter to address the earlier question I raised.
You sent it to the group or just to me?
To the group.
Good. Okay. Okay. I haven't gotten it yet, but let's why don't we go through the first part of it, and then hopefully by the time we've gone through that, we'll see your questions on the list. So, Paul or Milton or would one of you like to just talk about the questions, talk about the letter and how you developed it, and just a little bit of background on it?
Basically, I wrote a draft that was kind of crappy, and Milton really improved it a lot.
It's not true. I approve the language, but the substance is pretty much what he put in there, because I didn't really understand, from a registrar's perspective, has a bit much better question as to what we're actually getting information about here.
The questions I asked were trying to get to people's use of port 43, and then how they offered it up to their customers. So, for example, if we wanted to stop people from marketers from data mining, we'd have to somehow also stop the legitimate users from giving it to marketers for data mining. So I wanted to find out not only how they got it from the source, but then how they were acting as a source too. And then I was curious about, for us to make this matrix, why were they getting it from us? And maybe that could help us somehow differentiate one from another one.
Okay, and do you think this latest version gets at what you're trying to figure out?
It gets at what I'm trying to figure out, but I'm not sure that these questions are what all of us want to get to.
Right, so let's then go through, obviously we'll probably have to think of some other preamble language than we're from ICANN, and we're here to help you, although I kind of like that, but I'll probably put in a sentence, and I'll send around, maybe a red line of just what I think as far as who we are, not what we're trying to, as Milton cautioned, not what we're trying to get at, but basically who we are and why we're doing this survey.
You might put in something like at least the URL for ICANN, because somebody not buying the data, or even if they buy it, they may not know who ICANN is.
Yes. So I'll try to draw up a paragraph or two on that, and I'll send it around to the group, because I want, especially Milton, because you brought up a really good point, and sometimes the drafter can't see the inherent biases in things that the drafter writes. So I'll try to come up with a beginning paragraph, and then you guys just take shots at it and let me know what you think. So I'll get that around in the next day or so.
Well, you're talking about putting a paragraph about ICANN in the survey form?
Not necessarily a paragraph about ICANN, but more who we are and why we're doing this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I even think that I might have been too specific. I think it would be better just to say we're members of an ICANN task force investigating the use of WHOIS data, rather than even mentioning data mining. The point being, again, we don't. If they know anything about ICANN, and most of them will, and if they don't know about WHOIS, I'm not sure how they're going to answer this at all anyway and give us any valuable data. But if they know anything about ICANN and they know sort of what the policies regarding WHOIS are, they're going to know, they're going to have a position. I mean, all of these, I can basically predict what, most of the law enforcement people are going to say on question 7, because they've been saying it to us for several months. I wonder where that message I sent is. It hasn't popped up yet. But basically, I sent. Let me just read the other questions to you.
Oh, the 8 and 9. Yeah, I got them in my box already.
Oh, okay.
But do you want to just go through the other questions? You want to go in order, or
get to the questions? I kind of agree with a light introduction. not too heavy, but, and I think also, you know, a link to ICANN is a good idea.
Yeah, let me try drafting, like, another, like, a paragraph where you have, we're from ICANN, and we're here to help you. I'll try drafting something, and you guys, I'll send it around the list, and you guys take shots at it. And Milton, I think it's your recommendation that instead of, for the second paragraph, instead of saying we were members of an ICANN task force investigating the use of WHOIS for data mining, just basically saying investigating the use of WHOIS information.
Yeah, WHOIS information, just so that, you know, they'll admit, anybody will admit that they're using WHOIS data. They might have some qualms about calling themselves data miners. Sometimes that has a bad connotation.
Right.
Well, you could say making a survey on this, because investigating really has a very Sherlock Holmes type of connotation.
That's sure. Okay. Surveying. Okay, and then the next sentence basically says, to help the task force develop policy recommendations about access to WHOIS data, we are gathering information from organizations such as yours that we understand are using or have used WHOIS information for various purposes. I don't think we have to read the introduction, but please, you know, submit your comments. We'll do the rest of this over, you know, aside from going through the questions. After this call, go through it. If you have some red line changes, send them around. Let's see if we can get a draft, hopefully by Wednesday or Thursday, which is tomorrow or Thursday. But let's go through the questions itself, unless anyone's got anything they really want to bring up before we get to the questions. Okay, and Milton has added two others that we'll go through at the end, unless, Milton, you think the order matters and we should insert it before one of these questions.
Well, there's a lot of evidence that order does matter, but I have no idea how it would matter in this case. So,
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I don't know if it's your phone or.
I said in any kind of a survey, order does matter, but I have no idea how it would matter in this case. And
okay, well, you can think about that. We'll just
the easy questions should go first to kind of get them into answering them. Kind of get them on a roll of just answering questions, so that they could answer quickly, like no-brainers.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So let's talk about the questions, and then we can talk about the order. The first one's pretty, you know, suffix. How do you obtain the WHOIS information? What do you think about that question? Everyone agree that that's a good question to ask? That's the right way to ask it.
Thomas here. I'm a little concerned by option C. While buying access licenses with ICANN accredited registrars, if the licenses are not obtained from accredited registrars, please specify the type of entity. I would strike the part if the licenses are not obtained, etc., and add another option which basically says in bulk from non-registrar entities. Please specify type.
So you would add D, being via bulk access with non-ICANN accredited registrars?
Through a party that is not an ICANN accredited registrar.
With a party that is not an ICANN accredited. Okay.
Or something like that, and then ask for the type of entity. And, of course, these two options are not mutually exclusive because the same organization can get WHOIS information, say, from a CD-ROM or database like Thomson, or from registrars themselves. Those things are possible, so it's not mutually exclusive.
Okay, so again, so at the top next to the question, you may select or please choose all that are applicable.
Something like that, yeah.
Select all that are applicable, and then when you said D via bulk access with a party that is not an ICANN accredited registrar, did you want them to list type of entity, or they might not know that?
Please specify the type of entity. Put in there now too.
Okay.
And with other, we should also have the option to specify, I suppose.
Please okay. Any other questions? Any other thoughts on question one? All right, question two. From whom do you obtain the WHOIS information? Directly from a registrar or a registry. I might just say directly from an ICANN accredited. The issue here is that some people may be thinking about CCTLDs as well as GTLDs. So I might at the beginning list the GTLDs out that we're really only asking, or the question is, are we really only asking about the generic top-level domains, or are we asking about all top-level domains? And I think the answer that I would give would be that it's really just GTLDs because that's all that's in our terms of reference.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
it's a good point to clarify that too. Somebody reading it may answer based on what he's doing with CCTLDs.
Right. So I think in the beginning paragraph, I might also specify that it's a GTLD and then specify who the GTLDs are, since they may not know what a GTLD is. Okay. Sorry, I'm just taking notes here.
Sorry, Thomas, I interrupted you.
Should probably check, but I think the Google WHOIS survey is certainly a good indication of what people who respond to ICANN WHOIS surveys do, and I believe there was a question like how much do you use GTLD and CCTLD WHOIS, and if my memory serves well, most of the people who answered at that time were basically saying we were mostly using GTLD WHOIS. So if that's an indication about the kind of entities that can be reached for an ICANN survey, we may not have to be so cautious there. It would seem likely that we are going to reach our mostly using GTLD stuff too, but then again, this old survey has its own kinds of problems and is a little old. So,
okay.
I'm thinking a lot here.
No, that's fine. So for right now, I think I will be specific, and then I'm going to resend this around, obviously, with all the notes and all the changes. So if you give it a second thought, just let me know. Just let us know. The second part says, indirectly, please specify the entity. I'm a little confused by what that means. I know at the beginning we say, from whom do you obtain the WHOIS information? Should we just say, instead of directly, we should just say, from an ICANN accredited registrar, and then second B, like an other entity, or...
They could get it from a registry. I was trying to group things that we could actually, you know, we have a chance of affecting or controlling, and then other people who they give the information to.
And how different is question one versus, so the question one is how do you get it, and the second one is from whom do you get it?
Question one was more like almost, for non-technical people, the protocol you use to get it. And then question two is, where do you use that protocol to access what? Do you use port 43 to access a registrar or registry, or is there another entity that gets the WHOIS information and then allows access via port 43 to, as almost like a proxy to the public, for example?
I positively know that such proxies exist.
What's that?
I thought I positively know about at least one such proxy.
Yeah, like FirstSign WHOIS. FirstSign has port 43 access.
Paul, is there any value in knowing whether it's a registrar or a registry? In other words, should those be separate options on this question?
It didn't matter to me. It's okay with it having separate options, but it didn't really matter to me because I wanted to know that we have more of a control over those two types of entities, we being ICANN, than...
I get it. Okay, so the point is, what party do you get it from, and is it somebody that's under ICANN regulation or not?
That we could do anything about.
You know, I actually like the idea of separating it out from registrar to registry. So have A be directly from an ICANN accredited registrar, B be directly from directly from an ICANN accredited registry.
A little bit confusing, only because technically you have to go to the registrar to find out, you have to go to the registry to find out which registrar to go to, so it's both. And if it's registrar, it's both, technically. So I'm okay with splitting it out, but just it would confuse me slightly if I was filling it out.
Well, because if you were .biz and you were looking up a .biz, let's say, you don't have to go. I mean, you could get all the information from the registry alone. You don't have to go to the registrar at all.
That's right. But if it's .com, I have to go to the registry, which registrar to go to.
Don't some registrars have ways in which to, if you go to the registrar, it'll tell you, aren't some registrars able to do that in one step if you go to a registrar who is?
But you have to know which registrar who is to go to for the name. Therefore, you have to go to the registry to find out that first.
Yeah.
You can bypass the registry, but you normally don't want to ask 100 different who is servers if you can do it with two.
That's a good point. That's good. That's true. Theoretically, you can bypass the registry.
Okay.
In this context, a different question. Do people really understand what we mean when we are talking about port 43?
Another good question.
And
that's why I put I don't know on there.
Should we come up with some kind of definition of port 43?
We may need to explain a little what we're talking about there. I'm raising it now. I know it's a little out of order, but it's a couple of questions.
Okay. If anyone can.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I should bring up the point later. Maybe we should first finish question two.
No, that's okay. Because it's in question one as well. All right. So let's finish question two. So A is directly from an ICANN accredited registrar, or you should say directly from one or more ICANN accredited registrars. B is directly from one or more ICANN accredited registries. C is indirectly, and then please specify the entity. Is that confusing to anyone?
I would think it would be confusing to talk about it. An ICANN accredited registry. Wouldn't it be simpler to say from a TLD registry or a GTLD registry?
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. So instead of okay. So for one or more, directly from one or more GTLD registries, okay. C is, and again, in the beginning, I'll define what the GTLD registries are. C is indirectly, please specify the entity. Does someone, or should you just say from another entity, or instead of indirectly, instead of using the word indirectly?
I'm wondering if we should be more specific and ask about unified Whois providers.
Could I give an example, maybe? Basically, the point I was trying to get to here, I don't know if it's a good one, though, but is everybody getting it from, you know, GeekTools? And then GeekTools going, or, you know, maybe everybody's getting it from GeekTools, NSI, and one other place. And those guys are all getting it from the registrar / registries.
This brings up another problem, Paul. NSI is a registrar. Say, we are going to hear, or is it being done by the registry side? In any event, people who get it from that unified Whois server may quite well respond, we're getting it from registrar and registry. So, this is going to be confusing.
Right. In other words, they could be getting it directly from NSI, which is a registrar, but then they're getting it from ENAM.
Yep.
Great.
So we should probably add another option which says, are you using a unified Whois service, which provides access to all data across TLDs or across registrars. So it may help to distinguish stuff a little bit. But we are going to face a problem that there are different services offered by same entities, and we are asking about the entity when we want to go down to the service. But the problem is people probably don't know what service they are using.
You're right. Maybe that would get to the question of we could just ask them, the place that you get the Whois information from, is it, do you get all the Whois information from there, or do you go to different places to kind of compile it yourself? That would tell us whether they're going direct or not.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how you guys would you add an option C then, or you want a whole new question?
I don't know the answer.
So would you, I mean, if we put it as an option C, we say it's indirect, or instead of saying indirectly, you say from a who is, a unified who is service. Not that people will know what that means.
Right.
We can put some examples, but I don't want to put some examples because that kind of...
Bad.
Or just say other entity, please list the entity. Or entities, it could be multiple.
And then we know ourselves whether they're direct or not?
Well, presumably a lot of them are going to be answering this survey as well. I think we've covered a lot of the unified ones.
I'm beginning to question whether question two does anything that question one doesn't do. Suppose that they answer bulk accesses in question one, then we know that they're contracting with an ICANN accredited registrar.
Unless they're contracting with Thompson, who got it in bulk and is giving it out in bulk form.
Oh, really? So you can resell bulk access lines?
I don't know.
Yeah. So I see what you're, I understand what you're getting at in two, and originally thought it was a good idea. I'm just wondering as we get into this minutia whether we're it really, based on what you want to find out, Paul, it really should be just a two-part question. It should be directly or indirectly, because everything else has been answered by question one, right? But it's difficult to know whether the respondents will actually know whether it's direct or indirect.
It's true.
So if A, so it says, okay, from whom to obtain the who is information, A would be directly from one or more ICANN accredited registrars, B would be directly from one or more GTLD registries, C would be indirectly through another entity or entities.
But wait a minute, Paul. If they got it through Thompson, wouldn't they answer D on the first question? Via bulk access licenses with parties that are not ICANN accredited registrars?
But actually, D is now changed because it's not just bulk access, but it should be D via port 43, via the web, bulk access with a party that is not an ICANN accredited registrar. Right? Because a party who's not a registrar could provide the access through the web.
Right, but if they were getting it from Thompson indirectly, wouldn't they answer D?
I was trying to get, and one I was trying to get to, things that, if they're mining, things that we could plug, like protocols that we could, you know, somehow, this is our solution for the web, this is our solution for port 43.
Yeah.
And then two, I was trying to get to, if this is our solution for port 43, it has to somehow apply to people who are giving it via port 43 that are not people that we could...
So it seems to me that what you want to do with question two is you want to ask a yes-no question that says, are you getting this from somebody other than an ICANN-accredited registrar or registry? And hope that they know. And then we can have the I don't know option. So it would be yes-no, I don't know.
What do you think about that, Paul?
I'm okay with that. What does the rest of the group think?
Sounds good.
Okay, so question two now says, are you getting this information? Are you getting this information directly from an ICANN accredited registrar or GTLD registry? And A would be yes. B would be no. Sorry, I'm typing as I'm going through this too. That's why I'm talking a lot slower. No, and C would be, I don't know. C would be, I don't know.
I suspect there'll be a lot of those on that one, but...
Right. All right, question...
If they don't know, the answer is probably they're not. If they don't know, I would guess the answer is they're not getting it from directly.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So three, then, is how do you disseminate... Yes.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Maybe we could briefly return to question one and to the port 43 definition part. And actually, I think that's one issue. Additional issue that just occurred to me, that's the question port 43. What is this? We probably should say a little about it. second point is we may wish to ask if they are getting, we may, well, this is partially overlapping with question four then, but one question in the context of how do you obtain it would, of course, be do they obtain it by, say, individual queries through port 43 and mass data they're using bulk access, for instance. So do we want to add anything which asks port 43 is, do we want to add anything like we are doing massive queries to port 43? And the second issue I would raise goes into a roughly similar direction, and it's this point B, via the web. I can get books via the web on Amazon, so anyone who purchases mass data through some web interface may be entering via the web. We may wish to make that more precise and talk about some web search engine or whatever. The search engine is badly phrased, but be a little more precise than just saying via the web, because the web is just the internet.
Okay. Do you want to send semi-language, a semi-Lisp language on how you would define, or anyone, this goes to everyone, send language on how you would further define port 43, and Thomas, since you brought it up, how you would reword 1B via a web tool or something like that?
I can try, but I don't guarantee the result is really useful, so if anyone else has good ideas, they would be welcome, but current language may be a little too imprecise.
Right. Okay. So the next, and Paul, maybe you might help also with defining port 43.
I'll add that.
I could also try with the web, it's just port 80.
Yeah. Do you get it via port 43 or via port 80? Yes.
The point I was trying to get to here was, how do you, if you go to a website and see the information, more like an end user, or do you have some kind of computer that's getting it?
I know what you're getting at, and I know that I would understand the question. My concern is that people we are asking may know much more about what they are doing with the data than about the details of what they're answering to.
I think you're right.
There's colloquialisms that there is, which say you get something from the web when you don't really get it through a web interface.
Right.
And that's the risk here.
Okay. I think you're right. I'm not sure how we get around that. But let's, if we can go on. Again, this is just, we're just trying to get some, provide some more comments. I'll send around a revised draft. But number three, how do you disseminate the obtained Whois information? Then it says parentheses possibly compiled, aggregated, or combined with other information. Then there's five choices. A is via port 43. For example, if you have a proxy aggregate Whois data, if you proxy aggregate Whois data from a number of sources and provide a port 43 feed to the public, B is via the web, C is both A and B, D is it's not disseminated at all, for example, it's used internally, E is other, please specify the method.
Thomas again, first of all, I would suggest that we strike C and instead tell people that they can give multiple answers, because that's what we have been doing with previous questions.
So take out the word feed, is that what you said?
No. Number C, because it's confusing. I agree with that. Because
not both A and B, but just let them mark both if it's both.
For the whole survey, that way it's consistent for the whole survey.
Oh, I got this. Take out number C. Got it.
I would also suggest that we may wish to actually separate question 3 into two distinct questions. Question 1 would be, do you disseminate the information? If so, combined, if so, individual, maybe individual, just individual records, aggregate information, or bulk. And if so, how do you disseminate it?
Okay, so three would then be just a yes or no question, right?
Well, that would make it three questions, yes.
So number three would now be, do you disseminate the obtained who is information? Right, and just leave that pretty open-ended.
Jeff, this is Milton.
Yes.
I have to go now. I'm going to send you, I've been keeping track of edits onto the Word document that I've been using. I'm going to email that to you.
Okay.
And have fun with the rest of it.
All right, well, we're going to send this around. I'll send a revised, and please comment on email then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so question, I know people have to go pretty soon, but I just want to get as much as we can. So question three is, do you disseminate the obtained who is information? Right, just leave it as general as that?
Yeah.
New question number four would be, if so, the same question that was there, how do you disseminate the obtained who is information?
Actually, I think the current wording of question three includes various options of what kind of information is disseminated. We're talking about aggregated information. What's meant by that? Registration statistics? We probably want to know the
statistics. Oh, I meant you get... like a number of who is records all at once, you know, and then give those out to somebody.
Okay, but if I get this wrong, this call, it's likely that people who want to respond to it also get it wrong or may get confused. The point I'm getting at is you can do various things to who is information. You can aggregate it. You can extract information from it and disseminate that. Do we want to know that? Or do we want to make this more precise and ask, do you disseminate the information you have obtained? If so, individual records?
I was trying to get to, are they acting as a proxy? In other words, if we make this text for mining, whatever we happen to come up with, and then if somebody's just acting as a proxy, they could get around our fix. I wanted to know how many are acting as proxies. So then we know if our jobs are going to be worthwhile. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think we have to figure out some way to make the question more specific then.
So how can we do that, Thomas, with number four? Or the new number four, I guess, which was... So three would be, do you disseminate the obtained who has information? And four is, if so, how do you disseminate the obtained who is information?
For example, if they do it via port 43, and our thing says we're shutting off port 43, by the way, I'm not advocating that. I don't know what we're going to come up with. But then it would affect them. If it's via the web, maybe we have a different solution that they can live with.
Well, if we shut down port 43 with registrars, that doesn't mean that anybody else can't run port 43, right?
Right.
That's true.
We're not blocking it on any call routers, as far as I know. So.
Although that would be an interesting trick. okay, so if...
I think we... Anyway, I guess maybe it helps if we really separate this into three levels. First, do you make the information available? Two, do you make individual entries available? Or do you make a significant quantity of entries available? Something, I know there's some language, the bug access agreement, which describes this fairly well, but I don't recall it. So something like do you make a significant portion of the data available in bulk or in aggregate? Well, maybe in aggregate form is the right word then.
Yes, okay.
Yes, no, if so, and the next question then would be, What channel do you make it available through? Port 43, web interface, web-based query interface, web-based download of mass information could also be a possibility. I would split it up like that, I guess.
Okay, so the new number four would be, or three is, do you disseminate the obtained who is information? Four is, if so, do you make individual entries available or do you provide the information in an aggregate form? Again, we can work on the wording. Five would be, if you answered yes to number three, do you disseminate the obtained who is information? How do you disseminate the obtained who is information? then it's, then the answers would then be
port 43. I guess if people disseminated through port 43, we can use the word.
Right, and then we can get rid of the parenthetical or no? Yeah, I think we can get rid of the parenthetical because that's really for the question before it. And then B would be via the web. Maybe we wouldn't undo. All right. I'll leave it the way it is, and I'll send it around if everyone, because it's kind of hard to visualize. I mean, I'm looking at the actual copy, so I'll send it around the way it is, and then people can comment.
Yeah, I agree.
I can try to send a revised version of these questions around after the call.
Okay. Well, I've got them too, so I can resend. I'm the one. I'm taking notes, so I can send it around.
Okay. Just send what I have in front of me to you. Okay.
Sure. Then the new number six, which was really four in the old one, is approximately how many queries, whois queries lookups do you perform on average per day? Paul, the only thing I would do is change some of these numbers. So B would be 10 through 99 and 100 through...
Yeah, I gotcha.
999. Oh, no. Well, 100 to 1,000 is okay. So I would just change B.
What I kind of wanted to get to here was, is there mining, you know, is there high volume access really happening?
Okay.
So the problem with this, let's say they say, I'm doing A, less than 10. That could be because registrars already have speed bumps in that prevent them from doing more. Like they want to do more, but they're not able to. So, I kind of ignored that part.
I think this is going to be in letter form, so they're going to probably submit a whole new document with the answers to this, right? This is not really just fill in the blank, I would think, or circle. So these are the questions, and if they have a problem with the answer, I think they can write that. You know, they could say, I only do 8, but I'd like to do more. I would think they'd probably volunteer that, I would hope.
Okay.
The new question 7 is, are there any other questions on that particular question? The next one says, do you store the whois information? And the answers or their possibilities are not at all. I cache queries for a short period, i.e. less than a week. I store it for longer periods, such as more than a week.
Paul is here. Two remarks. First one, I would add the word routinely to the question because we're not asking, I mean, if someone makes occasional queries, they may still save whois information for a domain name they want to file a UDRP complaint about, and we don't want to get such responses.
That makes sense to me.
So I would add routinely to the question.
Okay.
And I have a problem with the example in C because I don't think we should be really suggesting to people if you are X, then you probably want to cross this one. I would just leave it open.
Okay, so you would erase.
If we strike the if you obtain bike quiz, you probably do this part. We at the same time get some kind of a consistency check with earlier information.
Okay, so we should just delete the parenthetical?
That's I would suggest that, yes.
Paul?
I agree.
Everyone else on the call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lost.
Was that three, or that was two? You said you had three things, right? So we had to routinely take out the parenthetical. You know, one more? That's it? Okay. Then the next one is the new question 8, which was the old 6, which basically says, please indicate the general purposes of your use of whois data. You may select more than one item, choose as many as that apply. Anybody have a problem with the, or have additional categories that you could add? One is to facilitate law enforcement by public authorities. Two is to facilitate intellectual property enforcement by trademark copyright holders. I would suggest an A and B just to say, just to facilitate law enforcement, leave it at that, forget if it's public authorities? Or is that important?
I guess I would prefer to leave it separate here.
Me too, because we want to find out who's the police and who are just attorneys working for IP companies.
Okay, so to facilitate law enforcement by public authorities, B is to facilitate intellectual property enforcement. What if I just say by intellectual, well, it's not just trademark and copyright, there are other types of intellectual property.
The other one on B would be, do you want to try and split between, I mean, if you take us, for example, we're not the copyright holders, our members are, but I know our members do some of their own work, so are you interested in splitting down, you know, the differences between having trade organizations like IFPI, BSA, for example, versus, you know, direct action by, you know, the Microsofts and EMIs of this world? Is that something of interest? It's just that by trademark slash copyright holders, IFPI, as the worldwide trade organization, probably wouldn't be in that.
What about by trademark copyright holders or their representatives? Or for that?
Yeah, you could do that if you're happy to put them all into one, yeah.
Paul, was that the intent of the question, to put them all into one?
I didn't make this question, but I guess.
Okay, was this David Ferris?
No, it's Jeremy.
Jeremy? Okay, was this your question, or?
No, I thought I wanted you to answer the question. No, it wasn't me, I didn't do the question.
All right, you know what, I'll put that in as in the revised version I send around, and if the person who created the question's got an issue with that.
I think it was Milton. I think I had one question, and he split it into two and came up, and I had, like, a couple examples, and he made more examples of purposes.
Okay, well, we'll send it around. If Milton has got issues, we'll ask him for his comments.
So we'd like to add one more, though, because I came across another reason, another purpose, which is for sale.
Okay, so that would be a new H, I guess?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go through the others. C is to obtain more.
Could we briefly, I'm sorry, Jeff,
sure.
Another point about A and B, both talk about facilitating things. That's very, very general. Facilitating intellectual property enforcement is something that Thompson & Thompson could probably claim they are doing. But I think we want to separate providers of information to these parties from the parties themselves. So maybe it's easier if we just strike to facilitate and just write law enforcement by public authorities, intellectual property enforcement. Facilitating includes service providers, basically.
So would you say then, maybe we can split up into different categories. A is law enforcement, you know, A would be law enforcement by public authorities, and B, you could even add to facilitate, or would that just be too much?
I guess the accurate answer for parties which are facilitating would be to say they sell. They sell with a restricted purpose. It gets difficult here because we get several. We have several elements in the pipeline. I'm not entirely sure what to do, but I would caution that the current questions are very general.
I see that point. In other words, if I'm an ISP, I give out who is information using my network. I'm facilitating. I could say I'm facilitating it for law enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, it may even be your business model to only sell a product to IP holders or law enforcement.
Right.
But you are not law enforcement, and we want to understand the difference. Are we talking about needs of law enforcement, or are we talking about business desires of a service provider to law enforcement, when law enforcement may be able to get to the information differently?
So if A, we say for law enforcement by public authorities, B, for intellectual property enforcement by trademark copyright holders or their designated representatives, you think of Thompson & Thompson, what would they say to that? They wouldn't put C to obtain marketing data for direct use or resale. They would probably say B anyway.
We could add...
maybe we add another category, facilitate intellectual property enforcement or law enforcement.
Develop products or services with specific with youth law, something like that.
So for development of products,
well, provide products and services, whatever.
Products or services that facilitate law enforcement or intellectual property law or intellectual.
Well, if we separate law enforcement and intellectual property, then we should also separate it there. So that would make two points. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, I'll send this around, and again, if people have suggestions, so we have a development of products or services that facilitate intellectual. Sorry, I'm just writing this as we discuss this. Okay, then. E is to obtain marketing data for direct use or resale. F would be for inter-registrar domain name transfers. G would be to facilitate spam prevention. H to operate a public information service. I is statistical research on domain name registrations. J, the new J. Paul, what were you saying for sale? What was the...
I came across a registrar sent me a contact to send a query, the survey form to, and that person just sells it. There's really no purpose in mind but to make money off of it.
Okay, so yours is just for resale of information, resale of who is information.
Right.
Is that how is that different than E or than to obtain marketing data for direct use or resale?
It may not be marketing.
Correct.
And actually, what do we mean by marketing data?
Yeah,
marketing data can be aggregate data, can be statistical data. So this gets very.
That's true. That's a good one.
This is very general once again.
Purpose, I think, for that one is so that we weed out people who we don't apply to.
So, purpose marketing?
So, just instead of just for marketing purposes, is that what you want to say for E?
It's hard to define marketing purposes. We have that exercise in the past.
Yeah.
but.
The reason for C, I didn't articulate it the best, was because I thought that we were just sending the survey to people who are not using it for marketing purposes, right?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted C in there in case we were sent it to the wrong person. If they check this, that means we sent it to the wrong person. They're using it for marketing purposes, and that's not what we're trying. And that's not what we're about.
But I guess in that case, I would maybe just really. And that, if it's really just a cross-check, then we should probably just say marketing purposes. And if they get trapped by this one, we know, caution.
Yes, that's the purpose.
Okay, but then I wouldn't make it so. I'd probably make it broader than it is now.
Okay, so say for marketing purposes.
Period.
And then the last one for resale of who is information. For direct resale of who is information.
Resale.
Yeah, for resale, for who knows what purpose the person
is. And if you organize the questions, I would probably put. We have to think about it. Let's do that for the next pass. Resale part and as a service provider to law enforcement go into a similar direction. But that's probably something we can. Which only has an effect on ordering.
Okay.
Next pass.
And then the last question before we get to, we have Milton added too. Says, in your own words, please provide a brief justification of your usage of the WHOIS data. WHOIS provides anonymous public access data. Wait, I'm confused by the second sentence. WHOIS provides anonymous public access to individuals' users' contact data and to registrar's customer lists? Why do you feel that usage warrant access to this data? I think the last two parts are kind of a little too subjective.
Well, provoking people a little bit could help.
Yep, this is David. I'm going to have to sign off pretty soon. Are we going to cover anything else today?
I think we're just going to get this questionnaire done. The goal is to send it out at the end of the week, and then starting the next call, we'll get more information on the charts. But I think the first goal should be sending this out.
Okay, are we going to talk at all about outreach and coordinated outreach for this and some of the other work, like with our questions to the GAC, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm having a call next, or I think tomorrow or Thursday, with the other WHOIS task force chairs to figure out how we can coordinate all this together so that we're not bombing the GAC with different questionnaires at different times. And so I'll report back on that.
Okay, I think that that's probably important. I know my conversation with a lot of GAC representatives, they don't really want to be overwhelmed.
Right.
But also, I think it might be best if we could coordinate all of this through our staff contact point, all of the dissemination and collection of this information.
Yeah, I think that's Barbara, unfortunately, couldn't be on the call, but that was one of the things I was going to ask her as well.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
I'll stay on for a few more minutes, but then I'm going to have to drop off.
Okay, so let me just get the general thoughts. I mean, number seven, obviously the first part of it, in your own words, please provide a brief justification of your usage of the WHOIS data. I think that's okay. I think the second two parts are a little bit too subjective, although people definitely have that a view of it.
I think it's maybe he's trying to get to the question that we're all trying to weigh in our minds on one, or, you know, the balance. We have personal data over here on one hand, and on the other hand, anybody could get it. So how do we balance those two?
Well, I agree, and I think that's ultimately the role of ultimately what we as an ICANN community have to get to. I just don't think we're going to get criticized for that question, because it really expresses a point of view rather than trying to get an objective answer. Does that make sense? I think.
Let's maybe defer this to email. I'm not entirely sure who suggested it, and I wouldn't feel comfortable with striking this part of the question without hearing the person.
Okay. And then the last two questions that Milton wanted to add would be, if you could not use port 43 WHOIS data, what would you use as a closest substitute? And
Again, please?
The question would be, if you didn't have access to port 43, what would you use as the closest substitute?
Freeform, then, or?
Yeah, it's just kind of a, there's no choices there.
And, like, generate some ideas for us.
Right.
That's not so bad.
And then, we'll save this for the list, but the last question is, is the most important factor justifying your access to WHOIS data? Then you have A, cost, B, convenience of immediate online access, or C, no other way to get the needed data. Or D should be all the above or something like that.
We are not making all of the above, but we are going to let people cross all points, right?
Right, right.
But
says is the most important factor, and it kind of asks for one
there.
So what I'll do is I'll make some of the changes we talked about, recirculate the new draft, and hopefully we can get some comments pretty quickly. And the goal, again, would be to figure out a way to send this out later this week.
Okay. I'll send you draft wording for the dissemination questions.
Okay, good. And then I'll wait for your changes, then put them into mine, and then send it out.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I know this is a long call. I think next week, you know, we'll have the letter out, but we'll still need to start talking about some of the existing materials that are out there. and I'll also have a better idea of coordination with the other WHOIS task forces. Okay? So thanks everyone.
Thanks, Jeff. That call is on Thursday.
Yes, and Glenn, have you gotten any responses back yet on the MP3 recording?
I've got a few, but not enough yet.
Okay.
I'll work on that.
Okay, great. If you can
say that again about the next call. When is it?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Same time, same station.
Yep.
That's right.
I have a call on Thursday with the other WHOIS task forces. But yeah, next Tuesday is the next call. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Cheers.